Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Mark chapter number 5 in the Word of God. Mark chapter number 5 in the Word of God this morning. And as you find your place here in Mark chapter number 5, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Mark chapter number 5 in the Word of God today. Once again, if your health allows you to, would you please stand out of respect of the reading of God's Word today? Mark chapter number 5. We're going to read several verses here just right in a row. And then we're going to dive into this story here in just a moment. Mark chapter number 5, would you look with me at verse number 21? Mark chapter number 5, look with me at verse number 21 and watch what the Bible says. The Bible says this: "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed from of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself and that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said to him, Thou seest that multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who toucheth me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. And the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing that was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." This morning I'd like to preach a message entitled, A Woman to Learn From. A Woman to Learn From. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, Savior, once again. God, you are the great physician. Lord, the story that we've learned and heard many times, what can we get from it? In May of 2021, is there really anything in Mark chapter 5 that we can grow from? Is there anyone in this story that we can be more like? Father, I ask, Lord, that today would not be just the day that we come in because our mom wanted us to, or our grandmother wanted us to, but Lord, this in this moment would be the time that we'd say, Lord, speak to my heart. Whatever is in this message, Lord, I ask that you'd use it on my heart, that I would walk out of these doors being more like you. Father, I ask, Lord, that if there's one here that does not know you as their personal Savior, that, Lord, today would be the day of salvation. Father, help them to see their need of a Savior. And Lord, I ask once again that your word would not return void. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today, without a doubt, is a very special day of the year. Mother's Day. It's a day that we set aside to honor and praise the precious lady that brought us into this world. Maybe you had a mom that's here today. Maybe you have a mom that's already passed on. But there's no doubt that all of us are thankful that we had a mom that was pro-life. We had a mom that raised us and was there with us. Or maybe you have a stepmother or a grandmother that raised you. And we're very thankful. I'm thankful for a very special lady in my life. I'm thankful for my wife, Carrie, who is here today, the mother of my children. She is faithful to the Lord. She is faithful to her husband. She is faithful to her children. I tell our kids all the time, you have a very special mother. That lady puts up with a lot being in ministry now for 15 years. And I am very thankful for the wife that I have, that God brought us together in Bible college. And We look forward to every single day serving the Lord together. But here at Cross Point Baptist Church, we have some very special ladies, fine ladies who love the Lord, who love the local church, who love being a testimony, who love witnessing, who love their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's something about a mother's love that just kind of almost surpasses our understanding, our comprehension, how much love a mom, a grandmother, a great-grandmother has for the world, has for kids, has for even this generation that we are raising. You know, the Word of God is full of many moms. There's full of many ladies who were used in a great, great way. In the Word of God, we often hear of women that what we preach on and or even model our lives after. I can think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. We hear often about Ruth and Esther. These prominent women also include matriarchs like Sarah and Rebecca, Rachel, Leah, Miriam. How about Deborah the judge and Abigail who married David, Rahab, all these women of the Bible that mean so much to us and we glean from and we love their stories in the Word of God. But often in the Bible, we often find women who are not talked about very often. They're not preached on them. They barely get a mention in the Word of God. But I think about all of the prophetess or perhaps even the greatest leader who ever lived, Moses. So many leadership tips we get from him and used in a great way to take millions out of Egypt and lead them close. He did not get to go in, but lead them to the promised land and wander around the desert for 40 years. But you know, we often don't talk about Jochebed, his mother, and the whole beginning of Moses had to do with the wisdom of his mom. I think about Judith and Jael, both of them instrumental in killing for the Israelites. They literally changed history, and yet we don't hear of their names very often. How about Shiphrah and Puah, who were two midwives who briefly prevented the genocide of children by the Egyptians? These midwives that were used in a great way and had great wisdom. There's oftentimes the Word of God, many ladies who just kind of get a brief mention, and yet they were used in a great way. That's what we think about when we talk about the lady that we're going to see here in this passage of Scripture. Oftentimes we talk of the miracle that was performed. In Mark chapter number 5, we talk about very often the maniac of Gadara that we see at the beginning of this chapter. We hear about Jairus and the faith that it took to come and to beg Jesus to make his daughter whole and that she may live. And we even talk about the story right after this passage of Scripture. And yet, here in this passage, we have this lady that is used in a great way. And I just want to kind of just apply this just for a moment and put it like this. Moms, in a day and age that we live, maybe at times you do really feel like Jochebed, or maybe you do feel like one of these other ladies, Puah, or these who are not really used or talked about, or chapters written about their life, or perhaps even the woman at the well, as we learned in Sunday school today, one of the longest conversations that was ever recorded with Jesus or someone else in the Word of God. And it was the woman at the well, as Brother Harvey brought out today. Maybe you don't feel like one of those ladies, Esther, Ruth, or Mary, that's put up. Maybe you do kind of feel like one of those ladies that just barely get a mention. In this day and age, in 2021, it's very easy to do that because we live with a comparative mindset. We live in a day and age when everyone puts how awesome they are out on the internet, whether it's Facebook or TikTok or Instagram or Twitter. We're always comparing our worst with everyone else's best. We're comparing moms, our motherhood, how you're bringing up kids based on everybody else's best. Everybody else, it seems like their kids are succeeding or their grandkids are doing great things. Or seems like everybody else is just, boy, it seems like it's very easy to them. And yet here I am and it's hard to get kids ready. Or it's hard to get grandkids ready. Or it's hard to get stepkids ready. It's hard to get them in church. And my kid's the one that's always being called in the principal's office. And it's my kid that's always been called down for running a church, and it's my kid, and this and that. And maybe you do feel like at times kind of one of those ladies that's behind the scenes and just, well, I'm not really worth a whole lot. Maybe just a mention, or to be honest, a lot of people don't even know who I am. Can I just tell you, Mom, for just a moment, stop. Just stop. Whether you're a single mother in here today, or maybe you're kind of at the life stage where your kids are about to enter into adulthood, or maybe you're raising teenagers, I'm just going to put it this way. You are loved by God. You are wonderfully and perfectly made. You are doing a great job. Maybe you feel like you're behind at times, but friend, when my wife goes somewhere and leaves me for a couple hours, I am begging God for her to get back sooner. Why? I just put it this way. I'm glad I am not a mother. If it was up to the dads, we would have been extinct years, generations, thousands of years ago. I don't think we'd have made it to Exodus. There's just no way. If it was up to us, you're doing a great job. We applauded you today, and we keep applauding you. Mom, grandmother, great-grandmother, you just hang in there. You're making an impact on this world. If you agree with me, say amen this morning. Thankful for our moms in here. But what can we learn from this lady? What is it that we can draw from this lady that's just briefly mentioned? Well, I want us for just a moment to point out several things that this lady with an issue of blood teaches us. Number one, if you're taking notes today, would you write this down? She knew of Jesus' activity. She knew of his activity. Look with me here at verse number 27. Verse number 27 says this. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Maybe she had heard of this Jesus that had healed the deaf, the blind, and raised the dead. Maybe she knew of this Jesus from the beginning of the chapter, as many would begin to talk about this maniac that hid out and camped out and lived up in the tombs, and yet Jesus healed that man. Maybe she had heard of him touching the leprous, or maybe the sick of the palsy, or reaching out and talking to, and some man that had been lame all of his life would jump up and grab his bed and just praise this Jesus. She knew of his activity. What I love about this lady is this lady went to see Jesus. She did not go to see some artist or some doctor. She didn't go to some place where they were lining up hoping to see maybe just a glimpse of a fake or maybe just a false prophet. No. This lady went to see Jesus. She knew of his activity. She knew what his name meant. She knew the faith that it was going to take. I'm just pointing out today that in the day and age that you and I live, maybe we can learn something from this lady today. And in a day and age when we know a lot about the coronavirus, in a day and age we know a lot about politics, in a day and age when we know a lot about our neighbors, we know a lot of gossip, we know our favorite TV show in and out and can't wait for the next season to come out on Netflix or Hulu or Prime so we can binge watch. In a day and age when we know a lot about everybody in the auditorium, or a lot about sports, and we can name every player that has heard of playing for the Pacers, or we know every trade that took place in the NFL, and we know all the names of the Kardashian. In a day and age when you and I have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, what I'm saying today is maybe we can learn from this lady and know a lot about our Savior. In a day and age when teenagers are spending 7 hours a day on social media, when the average adult is spending 3.4 hours a day in front of television, and you and I will go an entire week and it comes to Sunday and we can't find our Bible, we don't know where we did it with our tie, we're not really sure where even Mark is in the Word of God, we couldn't even name the books of the Old Testament. I'm saying today, friend, if for you and I, if we're going to impact our community, if you and I are going to impact this world around us, we have got to start putting off Fox News News and CNN. And we've got to start putting on our Abba Father. And we've got to quit worrying about what everything else is going on in the world. And we've got to be like this lady that knew of His activity. I'm putting it this way today, friend. I am challenging us in a day and age where we've got to get to the sports field and practice, and we've got to go here and there, and we've got to get homework done, and we've just got so much going on. Friend, in the busy 2021, could you and I for just a moment pause and know of our Savior's activity? What about getting in the Word of God? What about digging into His Word? What about our devotions? Is it amazing that in a day and age we'll get on and we'll scan and screen and go through, watch this very carefully, college, we'll scroll through our phone as we sit there for 20 seconds, 30 seconds, 2 minutes, 10 minutes. We'll just scroll looking at nothing, looking at video clips, looking at pictures of people we don't even know around the globe. But when it comes to the precious Word of God, we've got it so down to a science that we get out our little Baptist bread, we get out our little devotional book. We'll give God 2 or 3 minutes. We'll give Him what we can. We'll dig into a prayer life. We can't pray for 5 minutes. We can't pray for 30 seconds without thinking of everything else that's going on around us. And yet, we sit back and wonder, why is America in the shape that it's in today? See, we open up the Word of God. You begin to dig in. It's the bread that you and I need. It's the water that we need. It's the substance that's going to help us and grow us and develop us. Moms, let me put it this way today. You're not going to make it through. You are going to feel like you're on the verge of a nervous breakdown if you're not in the Word of God. Dads, your marriage is not going to succeed. Your kids are not going to do great things for God if you and I don't turn off ESPN and get in the book that was written and preserved and is perfect and inerrant and inspired and is so applicable in 2021. I'm just telling you, friends, in a day and age, we sit back and scratch our heads. I don't understand why they're in the shape they're in. I don't understand why my kids are going this way. I don't understand why my kids don't love God. I don't understand why America's in the shape. I can't understand. I never thought I'd see today. Friend, may you and I stop making excuses and understand that in the very Word of God, it tells us of His activity. It tells us how our marriages ought to be. It tells us, it shows us how we're to raise our kids. It shows us how to live a godly life. It shows us what we owe grace, mercy, peace, and truth. Is. But friend, we have got to know of His activity. And how do we know of His activity? We've got to get back to the very Bible. We got to get back to the book. You see, she knew of His activity, but secondly, she completed all other alternatives. Look at verse number 26, would you, with me? It says, and had suffered many things, many physicians. This is an amazing thought. Look at this in verse number 26. It says this. Many things, many physicians, and had spent all that she had. It's all gone. Everything. She had seen them all. She had been to the doctors. She had talked to the surgeons. She had seen the nurses. I'm sure she tried every self-help that she could. The herbs. She saw the neighbor that was a naturalist. She tried it all. She was trying to find something that would fix her. She was trying to find something that would just complete this void that she had. She had tried all other alternatives. And yet, isn't it amazing in the day and age that you and I live? In the world around us, everyone is trying everything to fill a void in their life, to feel good or happy or to live their life or feel socially acceptable. Isn't it amazing that everyone nowadays is walking on eggshells so that they're not part of a cancel culture? Everyone nowadays is trying to fill out if I could try this or maybe if I could take this or maybe it's exercise, maybe it's yoga, maybe it's being a good person, maybe it's joining a cult, maybe it's this or that or whatever the case might be. Isn't it amazing that in 2021, as Americans that have it all, people are still not happy. People are still searching. People still are going through life wondering, what is it that I can gain that will fill this void? Understand the book of Ecclesiastes, the whole book, I think it's 13 chapters, 12 chapters, that is given towards a man who is the wisest man who ever lived. His name was Solomon. And he went through his entire life searching. He went through his entire life searching every alternative. Can it be that I will get drunk? Can it be that I can gain money? Can it be that I can marry so many wives? Can it be this? Can it be this? He was searching the whole world. And yet, in the beginning of that book, the Bible says this: vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. You know what vanity means? Nothing. That means the wisest man who ever lived came to the end of his life and said, I have searched for happiness here, there, everywhere. I've crossed every mountain. I've looked in every sea. I have basically have all the knowledge. And yet, when I get to the end of my life, here's what he's going to say: it is nothing. And friend, if you're sitting here today and you don't have Jesus Christ living in your heart, you can go and search this world. You can take every drug. You can see every psychiatrist. You can have every new car. You can build the biggest of house. You can gain acreage. You can climb the corporate ladder. You can go as far as you want to go. But I'm here to tell you, friend, today, you can try it all. But outside of the blood of Jesus Christ, you will never be happy. Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher. All is vanity. It's nothing. And friend, if you're searching today, you came to the right place. Because at Cross Point Baptist Church, we're not going to tell you how we feel. We're not going to tell you I think this is the way. We're not going to share with you, here's what Grandma and Grandpa said. Or here's what the church down the street says. Well, I heard from an old televangelist once. No, friend. You came to a place that's just going to preach the very Word of God. And the Bible says this, listen very carefully: for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This Bible says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You say, well, Pastor, to be honest with you, that's why I don't come to church, because I'm a good person, and I get to church every once in a while, and I think I vote right. I think I'm in good shape. I'm pretty good. There's a lot of pretty good people in the Indy area. Friend, I hate to say this. Okay. I really do. Listen very carefully. There's a lot of good people in hell. I know that's not popular. I know, but you know, it's not going to get a lot of amens. There's a lot of moral people in hell. There's a lot of your neighbors that were very neighborly. They're going to spend an eternity in the lake of fire because they never knew Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, watch very carefully, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's of God. Friend, I'm going to ask you one of the most important questions that anyone has ever asked you in your life. Watch very carefully now. Do you know Jesus Christ? Yeah, I know him. He's in the Bible. Do you know Jesus as your personal Savior? See, it does not matter your background today. Isn't it amazing, Brother Brian, how many people in this area want to get things right in their life so that they can come and be a Christian? Friend, you don't try to get better so you can go and see your doctor. You go to your doctor because he has all the answers and he gives you what you need. Friend, we don't try to get better, get rid of some things. Understand this. There is nothing, you ready for this? Watch. There is nothing in your life that you and I can hide from God. He already knows. No, we can hide it from moms. Now, I'll be honest, I grew up with a mom that, dude, she had like eyes in the back of her head. I don't even know. She'd walk away and she'd be turning around, she'd be going, and somebody make a face or roll their eyes. She'd say, "I saw that." I mean, it was, anybody else have a mom like that? Was it just me? Yeah, I thought so. I thought so. Some of your older generation are like, yeah, and she got out a belt, would chase us around. Okay. But understand, it's like we can hide some things. You can't hide things from God. He knows our heart. This lady had an issue of blood for 12 years. She tried everything. There was nothing that she did not try. The Bible goes as far to say this. She had spent everything that she had trying to get help. Friend, I don't know what you're going through today, but do you need help? You've tried internet. You've tried a counselor. You've tried different methods. You just can't overcome. Just can't complete. Friend, what you need today is Jesus Christ. The greatest day of my life, yes, I loved growing up. Yes, one of the greatest days of my life was when I said I do to Carrie Clayton at the time. Wonderful days. But the best day of my life is when I got on my knees and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You see, this lady, she completed all other alternatives. But watch this. Number three, she was committed to accessing Him. She was committed. In the Word of God here, the Bible says that there was a great throng. That means this, as a lot of people. The streets there in this town would have been narrow. There would be those hanging out the windows. There would be those that would get in the alleys. There would be those on the main street that would come and be 10, 15, 20, 30 people deep trying to get to that main street that Jesus was walking down. This would have been no easy task. And yet, in spite of the pain that she was having, she tried to get to Jesus. She had a condition of blood. That means this. She was hurting. This was a disease, or perhaps even some say it was a hemorrhage, that this lady would have been in great pain. Some commentators state that this pain for women would have been so great that a majority of their time would be spent crawling on the ground. That means this, that it's not too far-fetched to say that this lady could have been crawling through the crowd after 12 years of this pain just to get a glimpse, just to be able out to reach out, just to be able to maybe perhaps touch Him as He goes by. Isn't it amazing that in spite of the pain, here is a lady who is crawling to get to her Savior. And yet in the Christian day and age that you and I live in this culture, do you and I have that same mindset? Uh-oh. You see, it's a real shame in America when coronavirus hit. There's a lot of people upset that the restaurants weren't open. Now, we're pretty upset we couldn't get our coffee and go in and sit down and just chat. Man, it was a toilet paper shortage. Y'all remember that? It's the craziest thing you ever seen. Why get toilet paper? We're upset. But I wonder how many Christians truly deep down inside were hurting because they couldn't get to church. See, this thing got 6 months in. We were still begging. How come we got to eat outside? How come we got to have a mask? How come we got to? Why is the vaccine hurrying up? Why is it? I wonder how often we get down on our knees and ask God to heal our land so we can get back to having a choir and an orchestra and a man to stand in the pulpit
and to preach the very Word of God so that our hearts are convicted and our kids are in church and our grandkids are learning all around this building today about their Savior. See, she was committed. She was committed in spite of the pain, but she was also committed in spite of the perception. Did you catch that? Here is a lady that they say, historians say, possibly could have been crawling on the ground. This issue of blood would have been a vitally, or let me put it this way, extremely embarrassing for a lady to be living in this day and age. There are many at this time that did not understand, historians say, what she was going through. So they would automatically associate it with something else that has to do with the feminine body. And here they were, and there would be many that would say that she needs to be put away, or she should not be touched, or she could not be here. And yet, here she is, not caring about this issue of blood, quite possibly crawling to get to her Savior. And there may have been those that were there in this very crowd that would have pushed her out of the way, or said, excuse me, you shouldn't be here, or my goodness, have you looked at yourself lately? Go back and get yourself cleaned up, and then come back, friend. No, she was committed to seeing her God. And in a day and age that you and I live, look, Hollywood is not going to applaud Christianity. Look, public schools are not gonna just cater and say, you know what, let's bring prayer back. Let's just bring back God. Let's just let God get in our young kids' lives. No, in the day and age that you and I live, you and I, the further along we go before our Savior calls us home, we are going to be weird to this world. We're going to be different. You and I are going to be peculiar. We're going to be set apart. Listen, we are going to be a called out assembly. And yet, isn't it amazing that in America that you and I live in, there are many that are going to cater. There are many that are going to back away. There are going to be many that say, I'm not going to stand with that crowd. I'm not going to call out that sin. I don't want to be a part of that. Because, you know, I know it's about Jesus and all, but it's kind of weird. No, friend, in the day and age that you and I live, no matter what, may we always be committed to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who cares what Hollywood calls us? Who cares what everybody else is preaching? Who cares if they've watered down the Word of God? No, as Bible believers, may you and I stand on, well, the Bible. Stand for. Well, I don't really want to be associated with what? God? Yes. Oh, yes. Well, you know, they're trying to redefine. Let me put it this way. Do you and I really think we can redefine what God created? You think we can do a better job at marriage than God? Nope. Well, you know, I mean, does it really mean male and female? Yes, for goodness sake. Yes. Dads, I have to take a stand. Moms, in spite of the pain or the perception. Moms, maybe you don't even have a father who is supportive of Christianity. Be committed. It's not always easy. Look, I wasn't here last year. I was in California, which was honestly 10 times worse, but it was hard. It was a tough year. Friend, in a day and age, we went, what, Carrie, 8, 9, 10 months? And everybody's arguing, fighting. Oh, they're arguing, fighting. Do we wear masks? Do we not wear masks? Should we take Pfizer or should we not? Oh, Fauci's this, Fauci's not. Oh, Trump, Biden. I mean, for 8, 9 months, 10 months, to be honest with you, it's May of 2021. We're still going through it. When a whole world is fighting over what's right and wrong and this and that and back and forth, can I just be honest? Well, you ready? I'm not stepping on my toes. I didn't even tell you what I believe. Listen very carefully. May you and I be committed to Jesus. Jesus. He's our Savior. Look, can we learn from this lady? This lady that's barely mentioned in the Word of God. And to be honest with you, she's like a middle child. She's stuffed between three really powerful passages here. What can we learn from her? Well, she knew of his activity. She completed all of the alternatives. She was committed to accessing him. But watch this. I want you to write this down. Number four, and I'm almost done this morning. She was cured of her affliction. Look with me at verse number 29. Look what the Bible says. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself, virtue had gone out of him, turned about. See, verse number 29. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up. 12 years. It's done. And she felt in her body that she was, look at that wording here, healed of that plague. Friend, this was not some medicine you take home for the rest of your life. This is not 12 different bottles that you got to take at different times of the day. This was not herbs to be taken with every pill. This was not some hocus pocus by a witch doctor. This was not some fake televangelist getting up there and pushing on somebody's forehead and them doing this jolt and laying down or jumping out of the wheelchair. No, friend. She touched Jesus and she was, the Bible says here, healed. Did you catch that? She was healed immediately and instantaneously and infallibly. And inexplicably, no one could explain this. There was no x-ray that could be taken that would explain why this happened. This didn't add up on paper. No one could figure this out. This did not make sense in the medical field. But let me just put it this way. Jesus is not a regular doctor. He is a divine healer. He is the great physician. He can heal you on the inside and he can heal you on the outside. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. When you and I, watch now, when we got saved, we were healed by Christ on the inside. There is no going back. There is no losing your salvation. There is no more concerns about hell. No, friend. When this lady reached out and when she touched the very garment of God, the Bible says that she was healed. That means this. She never went back to crawling on the floor ever again. And when you and I get Jesus in our heart, there's no more crawling back to the sin. There's no more old life. There's no more, well, I kind of wish I could crawl around like I used to. I kind of wish I'd be made fun of for this issue of blood like I used to. No, when we met Jesus, our whole life changed and it changed forever. There's no going back. I get it. Life is tough. Life is hard. Maybe you've got a grandkid that's not serving God. It's on your mind. Maybe you're in here and your spouse no longer sits with you in service. You've been divorced. Life's hard. Maybe moms, you're in here and it's not even easy to be here today. I'm going to encourage us, church. We cannot live our life looking in the rearview mirror. You and I cannot change the past, but we can live for the future. Painful at times? Friend, yes. Hurtful? Absolutely. But you and I have to live a life in 2021 and learn from this lady that there's no going back. Put it this way. Eric, when we got saved, what is it in our old life that we would want even, what would we even want to go back to? Brother Brian, what would we want back there? Brother George, what's back there that we want? Nothing. There's nothing back there that's going to make us happy or fulfilled or give us joy. But the moment that Jesus Christ healed us, the moment that we understood and comprehended the blood that he shed, that blood was shed for you and I, and it cleansed us of our sin. You and I have a home in heaven. You and I have a Savior. And friend, may I put it this way? I know heaven's going to be great, and I know we're going to be there one day, but I wouldn't even want to live this life without my Jesus, without my Savior. Friend, let me encourage our church today. We can't be looking at the hurt and the bitterness and the pain and the suffering that we've been through in the past? Did it hurt? Yes. Was it tough? Absolutely. Do we think about it? Possibly. But friend, when we got healed, when we got saved, understand, we are a new creature. And when she touched out, she knew immediately, I'm healed. But Dan, you ever went to somebody and they got saved? Isn't it an amazing thought to look at them? They know it. They know it. Carrie, you remember Nora got saved? Nora's first, Rose's couple, a couple months later. She just wasn't there yet. I remember Nora got saved. And that little girl, when she prayed and she got done praying, nobody put words in her mouth. Nobody told her to smile. Nobody said, come on, Nora, now you're different now, okay? Now, you got to act like a Christian, dress like a, talk like a Christian. She's fine, but no more cussing, okay? There's no more drinking, no more, I know, come on now, time to know. I'm telling that little five-year-old, she got saved, she was saved, friend, she was different. And when this woman reached out and touched Jesus, she knew she was different. And friend, when other people see our lives, they know we're different. Why? We're not crawling around anymore. Anybody who talked to that woman after that? What's up with her? She didn't look the same. She didn't talk the same. She's not crawling around anymore. Well, she is. Something different about her. I don't know what it is, but I got to talk to her. Well, what happened to you? Was it finally that doctor I told you to go see? Was it finally that pill I told you about? Nah. I met Jesus. Amen. And people see our lives, they're going to know we're with Jesus. This little lady has mentioned the Bible. Let's move on. What can we learn from her? Watch this. She, and I'll be done, don't shut your Bibles yet, confessed before all. Look with me at verse number 30. Jesus, immediately knowing in himself virtue had gone on of him, turned about the press and said, listen to the question here, four words. Who touched my clothes? The disciples said to him, Lord, thou seest the multitude thronging thee. See all these people? That we are packed in here. It's uncomfortable. Maybe Peter's saying, I'm a little bit claustrophobic right now. And you say, who touched me? Verse number 32, and looked about to see her that had done this thing. They caught eyes. She saw them. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. Watch this. And told him all the truth. She told him everything. She confessed, Lord, here's what I've spent, here's what I've seen, here's what I've done. When I touched you, I was healed. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Not everyone that touches Jesus wants to be changed. Not everyone that touches Jesus wants to be healed. There are those that want to just bump him, come and hear a sermon and feel good about themselves. And then go on and live a regular life. But Jesus asked the question, who touched my clothes? She didn't have to say anything. She was already healed. She knew. She knew what was taking place. She could have ran. She feared what was going to happen. She knew the town knew her. She knew she was going to have to step up. When the question was asked, who touched my clothes? You know, Pastor Foe, as I read this, Jesus knew who touched him. Excuse me, friend. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God. Now, don't lose me here. Watch. He knew. Jesus asked questions like that. Started in Genesis when he said, Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was.
He created them. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Jesus knew the answer. Hey, crowd, hold on, hold on. Whoa, whoa, wait. Disciples, hold on. Who touched me? Who touched my clothes? And here's a woman who stepped up to the plate and said, it was me. And she confessed and told them all. I love the ending verse here that says, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and whole of thy plague. Be whole of thy plague. There are many who will come to church. They'll bring a Bible. They want to bump into them. They don't want to know them. Oh, there's a lot, Brother Mancroni, who will come and they'll watch you lead those songs. But, I don't really need to sing. I don't have that great of a voice. Just want to bump into them a little bit. There's a lot who will pull out that old app or take this old Bible and roll through a psalm. Proverb a day helps keep Satan away. Yes, sir. God threw it. They want to bump into him. They don't want to know him. Friend, I want to know him. I want to come before him when he looks at me and asks the question. Why are you hanging on to the old life? Lord, I just want to confess all. Looks at me in the eyes and says, what are you living your life for? I want to look at him and say, here's where I messed up. Here's where I'm doing wrong. Here's where I want to be. Just confess it. When he looks at you, mom, in the eyes and says, my grace is sufficient for thee. You're going to get through. Mom, you're doing a great job. It's okay. Fear and trembling come before him and say, Lord, I just need help. Not everybody who comes to church wants to know him. Would to God we'd have committed believers right here today say, oh Lord, I don't care what anyone thinks about me slipping out and coming down to an old-fashioned altar. In spite of the perception. Dads, I think it's time you and I got down here. Who cares what everybody else is saying? Well, Pastor Shepherd must need to get something right. I don't know your heart and you don't know mine. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. What if today, Mother's Day, 2021, we just stepped out and just got a hold of his garment. Just said, God, I need you. Lord, I'm just going to confess all. I got to talk to you. Here it is. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Son, I got you. I got this. This little lady, what's her name? What happened to her? Will we see her again one day? Yeah, we're going to see her. Mark chapter 5. The lady got stuck in between two powerful stories. What can we learn? A whole lot.